Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
Amen. Turn with me, if you will. And we're going to be looking again in the book of Exodus, chapter 14 and verse 29. It's going to be on your screen for your convenience. We're always encouraging you to bring your Bible. Love the sound of Bible pages turning. I know many people have their phones nowadays, but I love to listen to the Bible pages turning. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 29. It should be on your screen. We're ready to go. If you found it, shout hallelujah. Word of God says, "But the children of Israel walked up upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore." Verse 31 says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Now, if you will, turn to the book of Exodus 15, just a chapter over, and then look at verse 1. The Bible says this. It says, "Then sang," everybody shout sang, "then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has God thrown into the sea." This is such a powerful event in biblical history, not only biblical history, but the history of the nation of Israel. And so today we're going to be talking about this transition that took place. They were leaving slavery, they were leaving bondage, they were leaving Egypt. God miraculously parted the Red Sea. They're walking on dry ground, of all things, not mud, but dry ground, and they made it to the other side of the Red Sea, and immediately they began to sing a song. And so we're going to be talking about this thought, singing the right song when living on the wrong side. Singing the right song when living on the wrong side. This is part two. Father, we love you. We thank you for this word. Let it go forth in power and demonstration of your Spirit. A powerful seed planted in good ground to bring forth much fruit. Holy Spirit, we know you're here. Continue to lead and guide and direct. Bring all things back to our remembrance. Whatsoever's been spoken, whatsoever's been written, give us insight for our eyesight. Open our ears that we may hear what you are saying to the church. And when we leave this place, we will bear much fruit and continue to operate in your gifts. So confirm your word with signs and wonders. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in reverence of the reading of God's word. I want to begin this first segment, and I want to talk to you this morning about the midnight cry. Anybody ever had a midnight cry season in your life, or a midnight cry moment in your life? Midnight cry basically is summing up this thought that you've been through pain, you've been through tests, you've been through trials, and in the midnight you were crying unto the Lord, and then all of a sudden God broke through for you. I'm grateful for the breakthroughs of Christ and breakthroughs of God that he's led us to. So that's what we're going to be talking about in this first segment, Midnight Cry. In the country of Poland, tens of thousands of Jews were being shipped off daily to their death cattle cars that were part of a railway system. Awakened from their warm beds in Warsaw in the middle of the night, husbands were separated from their wives. Children wrestled from the arms of their parents. And sadly, the elderly were often shot on the spot in front of their loved ones. They were gathered and sent off into trains to a place where their existence would no longer trouble the Nazis. Sent to camps in Auschwitz, Treblinka, and Majdanek. They would no longer trouble them. They were inside the trains, no longer troubling the Nazis. They were put inside the trains over the clatter of the cattle car wheels. Rose the sounds of people who were gasping, they were sighing, they were weeping, many were dying. One could hear, though, the stifled cries of even children who were crushed together. But in one such car, headed toward the infamous death camp of Treblinka, the sound of singing could be heard. An elderly Jew, wrapped up in his ragged clothing, his face white as snow, had made his way over to his neighbor on the death train, begging his neighbor to remind him of a certain song that they would sing during Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. It was not long before he began to remember the song, and he began to hum the song, a quiet tune. There, amidst the death and despair on the train to Treblinka, he was unaware of the silence in the cattle car and of the hundreds of years listening attentively in amazement. He also didn't hear the voices as they gradually joined his song, at first quietly, but soon growing louder and louder. The song spread from car to car. Every mouth that could still draw a breath joined in the singing. One survivor writes this. They recount that when they sang the song on the death train, the pillars of the world were shaking. Friend, that was a midnight cry for millions of Jews who were murdered during the Holocaust. So this begs me to question this to you this morning. What song are you singing? I want you to think about that. Are you singing the same song you're singing inside the church, outside the church? What song are you singing? Are you singing the right song when living on the wrong side? One of the most compelling events in Scripture, and I absolutely love it, Pastor Carl, is the story of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse 25. Let me read this story to you. It's on your screen. It says, and at midnight, everybody shout midnight. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. This morning you may be here and you may be in a prison. You may be in a prison in your mind. This morning you may be in a prison in your finances. You may be in a prison this morning in your health. You may even be in a prison at your job. Or you may be in a prison this morning in a relationship. Whatever the case, this is what I believe God is conveying to us. God is challenging us to sing the right song when living on the wrong side. To sing the right song when living on the wrong side. And so last Sunday, we got up to the point where I was explaining to you some incredible scientific facts, scientific discoveries. That according to bioacoustics, that we are surrounded by millions of ultrasonic sounds. It was just amazing that the other day I was, preparing the message. I already had it prepared, but I was working on some things and I just happened to come across a certain video, and I thought this was amazing. It was fitting that this rabbi had went into the Western Wall, and he was in behind the Western Wall, and where there's a tunnel, and you have access to that place. And he did a scientific experiment. He took a butter knife, which he had permission to do so. But he took like this special butter knife or this knife, and he stuck it in the cracks of this structure of the wall. Now, by the way, the Western Wall is the bricks, the wall itself, the structure. These are tons, tons and tons of rock that was made. And so they took the knife, he took it, and he just set it there, and just seconds went by, the knife began to vibrate. And so he wanted to develop this thesis. He wanted to develop this theory that he believed that sound molecules were actually somehow embedded in solid structures such as a rock. And so last Sunday we covered that. We talked about that if we Christ said, if you don't allow true praise to go forth, then the rocks will cry out. Remember the scripture? We talked about that. And so this American physician, Lewis Thomas, he writes this, and it should be on your screen. If it's not, it's okay. I'll read it to you. He said, if we had better hearing and could discern the singing of seabirds, the rhythmic timpani of schools of mollusks, or even the distant harmonics of flies hanging over the meadows in the sun, the combined sound may lift us off our feet. So this is what I'm getting to. I'm getting and driving this point home. One day, all creation will prevail in unity, singing, giving God glory. And I believe this is what's happening. I believe this is what God is preparing us. No, I'm not suggesting that we're all going to be put on death cattle cars and we're going to be taken to concentration COVID camps and we're going to be separated from people because we're a Christian. I'm not suggesting or saying any of that, but I am saying this. God wants us to sing the right song while living on the wrong side. Some of you are going through hell and high water. You're going through pain. You're going through test after test. And what God is wanting you and I to do is to develop a true, authentic, genuine praise unto Him in the midst of all of our trouble. Can you praise God no matter what you're going through? I think that's a great challenge. All creation will prevail in singing and unity. Look at Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast, look what it says, has created all things, and for Thy pleasure they all are and were created. Skip down to chapter 5 and verse 13. Look at this scripture. And it says, And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto Him that sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. That one scripture encapsulates what God is trying to convey, that if we do not praise Him, the rocks, my friend, will take our place. I don't want any rock taking my place or my position. I want to thank God today and praise Him with a pure and sincere heart because He's done so much for me. He's gotten me so out of so much. And I want to give Him and offer up Him. And even the Bible says in some places, a sacrifice of praise. So this is the challenge. And I really believe this is where we're at, Sister Courtney. The challenge every believer has is developing the ability to praise God in the midst of our trials. In the midst of our tribulations. In the midst of our worry. In the midst of our fear, anxiety, pain, suffering, offense. Anger, poverty, abuse, abandonment, persecution, chaos, and guilt, that we can praise Him regardless of what we're going. Listen, I know what it's like. It's difficult at times, but I believe there's power, liberating power in your praise. You believe that? Shout amen. So let's look at Exodus. Exodus 15 and verse 1. The Word of God says, Moses, then sang Moses. Everybody say sang. And the children of Israel, this song, he said, this is what they sung. And I thought this was interesting. They sung this song unto the Lord. They spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has He thrown into the sea. I don't know about you, but here you are with 3 million of your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and you just saw a miracle. I mean, not only are you walking on dry ground, you 3 million, I can't even get hardly five of us in the traverse, right, to get to church on time. Here they got 3 million. They've escaped Egypt, but to make things even more powerful, more interesting, the enemy that was in pursuit of them, they all vanished because the waters fell upon them and they drowned and they were destroyed. Boy, that's awesome. Because I think there are people out there, somehow the enemy wants to do destruction in your life. The devil wants to trip you up. The devil has assigned his little imps, his little demons, to try to stir up trouble in your life. But God says, no, not that one. That one's covered by the blood of Jesus. And you feel the heat. You feel the flames of hell. You feel the tribulation. You feel the attacks. Maybe it's through people. And they're saying, but all of a sudden you feel God in his protection. It's like an aura around you. And then all of a sudden God's word comes to your mind. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And you're like, oh, I'm not going to worry about what they're saying. Because God says, no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against me, God is going to condemn. And then all of a sudden you begin to have faith, and you know this. It may look dark, it may look troubling, but know this, that God has got your back. God has you covered. All you have to do is trust him and thank him. And I can see these children of Israel, these Hebrews. I can see them saying, thank God the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. Man, it's awesome to consider. And so this is what's happened. And they begin to sing. Look at this. The song that Moses sang after crossing the Red Sea to the Hebrews and the Jews is known to the Jewish people. Nothing more but called the song. There's actually a Hebrew word for it. It's known as the song. And so when a Jew talks to another Jew, or maybe an Israeli will say it, I don't know. But when a Jew talks about the song, they know exactly what song they're talking about. They're talking about the song of Moses. The song of Moses. The song of Moses describes something, and I want you to get this morning. The song of Moses, the song that was sung in Exodus 15, the song describes the Hebrews' birth song. It is the symbol of them passing through, get this, the birth canal and the waters of the Red Sea. That's why it's called the birth song. I think this is so interesting. But then when I look at it, I'm not a Jew, I'm not a Hebrew, but when I look at that, I can't help but make the connection as a believer, as a Christian. Because as a believer, it is a symbol of them passing through the Red Sea. It is a symbol of the rebirth through Jesus Christ. That's the symbol. It is a shadow. That was a shadow of things to come. That there would be not only the children of Israel, a Jewish nation, but there would be a Gentile people, a people of God who are a purchased people, a peculiar people, a people who Jesus would die for, regardless of creed, color, and background or stereotype, that Jesus died for all. I love this thought, but let me show you scriptural proof. Look at the book of John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus, of course, is talking to Nicodemus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except, what does it say? A man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now look what Nicodemus says. Nicodemus says unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time to his mother's womb and be born? Look what Jesus explains to Nicodemus, who came at night, right? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of what? Except a man be born of water. Are you getting what I'm saying? These Hebrews passed through the water, through the Red Sea, and it was a symbol. And Jesus is connecting this. And he said, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. My friend, this is where the rubber meets the road. Doesn't matter, you can call yourself Catholic, Church of Christ, Pentecostal, Baptist, you can call yourself Lutheran, you can have all the Calvinism you want, you can have all the theology you want in biblical theology, but it doesn't stand a chance unless you, my friend, are born again. Hey, thank God today that we have a Savior that gave us an opportunity to give our lives to Him and find out that we are born through the Spirit and through the water and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, this is amazing. And it says, then sang the song of Moses. Not only does it describe the rebirth or a new birth, but the song of Moses, and this is where we're headed, it describes to the Hebrews and to us liberation. Everybody say liberation. It was the song or the symbol of developmental liberation. And the reason I say that is that I want to clarify this, because development liberation is this. It's in the sense that although the Hebrews were set free from Egypt, they still had Egypt inside of them. And I may be speaking to some people today. You may be set free, born again, but there is the propensity for the flesh to want to take over in areas of your life. Hello? And the Bible is very clear that we're to mortify the flesh, put to death the flesh. And it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. I remember a fellow that got saved, and he had habits. He had tobacco habits. And I remember he had habits of cussing. And there's still people today who call themselves Christian, and they get on Facebook and they cuss all the time, right? It is a process. And we want to understand something about developmental deliverance, developmental liberation. And I really believe this. I believe it is God's intention for all of us to learn to sing the right song when we're living on the wrong side. It's God's intention for us. God, now notice what happens. You had your Bibles out. Notice what happens. They are in Exodus 14, just one chapter over. They are in captivity. They are struggling. They're slaves for 400 years. They're slaves. The taskmasters are doing horrible things. They're building. They're doing all that. They just have no life, it seemed like. And it took God to bring forth a miracle. Here you got Moses standing before Pharaoh, and he's saying, "Let my people go." But you never read in Exodus 14, you never read the children of Israel, the Hebrews, singing a song. They're never singing. They're not Paul and Silas in the midnight hour in jail. They're not singing and praising and praying in their midnight hour. No, it's not until you turn the page over to chapter 15 that you begin to read their singing. This is my point. This is what God wants us to do. God's intention for the Hebrews was to sing on the battle side and not on the safe side. Am I talking to somebody here this morning? God is trying to get you to sing on your battle side. Yeah, you're going through hell. You're going through hardship. And God is saying, hey, you're in the midst of the battle. Now's not the time to complain. Now's the time to praise. Now's the time to sing when you are on the wrong side. Because one day soon, I will bring you past and through the waters, through the fire, through the flood, and I'll have you singing the song that you're singing on the safe side. And this is the dilemma that we're in. People have not chosen to sing. That's why I ask you today, what song are you singing? What song are you singing? If we want to sing when everything is good and safe, this is what happens. We become underdeveloped in our deliverance, and our praise will be insignificant. If we just want to sing when everything's going good, if we just want to praise Him, listen, I know I've been pastoring for many years, and I know churches go through hard times. Churches go through splits. Churches go through financial trouble. Churches go through death. Churches go through so much offense and division. But we've got to learn when I'm coming into the house of God. That's what David said. I was glad when they said it to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." We've got our mind made up that I'm not going to be offended. I'm not carrying a bunch of baggage. I'm coming in clean before God, and my intention is to praise Him. Even if I've got to praise Him in my mama's dress through the hardships, I'm going to praise Him no matter what. Can you have that type of praise? Hallelujah. This describes us. Now look at Revelation chapter 15, verse 2. It's on your screen. Look what happens. And I want you to get this. Put your spiritual ears and eyes on. Here you have John, and he says, "And I saw it, whereas the sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having," what do they have? "They have the harps of God." Look what they sing. You ready for this? "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." This is Revelation. This is future. "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying this, 'Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints.'" Do you see what they had victory over of? Did you read what this group of people had victory over? Did you get it? They had victory over what? They had victory over the beast. They had victory over his image. And they had victory over his mark. They had victory over the number of his name. My, oh my. Why are you preaching the message that you're preaching about singing? Let me tell you why. Because, folks, we are headed down a place that this world has never seen before or will ever see before. You think artificial intelligence has a lot to do with the creation of the image of the beast, the Mark 666, and all the things that it could have. The technology is there. You think that the cashless society could ever happen? Well, it probably can. We just got rid of all the pennies. Do you think that we're headed to a one world government? It's a possibility. But let me tell you something. Whatever happens on the outside should never affect what's going on in the inside. Can somebody say, thank God, if God be for us, who can be against us? I love this. This describes the believers in the future who did not choose the comfort and the pleasures of sin. Does that sound like somebody? That's what Moses, by faith, Moses chose not the pleasures of sin for a season. This scripture I read to you, it describes that they didn't give in to the beast system. They didn't bow to the beast, the Babylonian political and commercial and religious propaganda. They chose to stand firm and give God praise. So very quickly, let's talk about three ways to sing the right song when living on the right song, wrong side. Can you say, I'm ready? All right, here we go. Number one, never wait until everything is good before praising God. I mean, that's just as good as and plain as simple as it can be. Anybody can do a good job at a good job. Anybody can do a good job at a good job. But glorifying God by doing a good job at a bad job is genuine praise. God bless the two of you that got that. We can all be nice to a nice boss. But showing the love of Christ to a godless, loveless work environment is authentic praise. Are you going to step it up at work tomorrow? Are you going to step it up at work? Can you walk in that darkened office or that darkened school or that darkened industry and can you just all of a sudden stand in the middle of that factory and lift up your hands and just thank God for who He is? We don't praise Him. We're not, like we said last Sunday, it's not the good music, the good singers, the good instruments, you know, all the good. It is, we praise Him because He's a good God. I challenge somebody to step out and just lift your hands up, maybe in the middle of Walmart today, and just give God some praise. You guys got quiet all of a sudden. But see, this is singing the right song when living on the wrong side. Number two, your praise, everybody say your praise, begins with your breath. Think about this. Nobody has ever been given the assignment to praise for you. Nobody has. I was thinking about this morning when I was reviewing my notes, and I thought about a pastor one time. He was preaching, he got real excited, and people were running around the church, and he told one of the runners, he said, "All right," he said, "praise God," he said, "I want you to go and take a lap for me." And I thought about that. You know, sometimes we want other people to praise God for us. Why don't you just take your own lap? Amen. Psalms 150 and verse 6, what does it say? It says, let everything, not everyone, but everything that has breath, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. I remember growing up in the Bible Baptist Church. It was on Sunset Drive in El Reno, Oklahoma. We used to sing a competition song as children between the girls and the boys. The song was called Praise Ye the Lord. Has anybody ever heard that? Praise Ye the Lord. One side would sing, Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. And then the other side would sing, Praise Ye the Lord, right? Okay? And then they would rotate. Then one would go, Praise Ye the Lord, and the other side would sing, Hallelujah, right? Who remembers that? Anybody? Raise your hand if you did that. Now, we used to do that. I mean, I actually won for the boys one time because instead of saying, Praise ye the Lord, I screamed it with a lot of my voice. I mean, everything I have. And I remember that. And we would do that, rotate back and forth, back and forth. But I want to show you something. The reason certain songs and things like these and these ideas are implemented in church structure, there's a reason that God allows these things to happen. Let me show you this. Research estimates that on average, we take 23,000 breaths every day. 23,000 breaths on average. My question is this. When is the last time you thank God for just one of those breaths? When's the last time you thank God that you're breathing? Huh. Why is it then, Pastor Carl? Why is it that we only thank God for the things that take our breath away? Why is it? Why are we... What's going on with this? Why are we only happy when things make us happy? Joyful. Why can't we just... be thankful. Before I ask God anything, I thank Him for everything. That's the way I begin my prayer. God, before I ask anything, I thank you for everything. And I go down for all the things I'm thankful for. And it takes time, but being thankful. Don't wait. Listen to me. Listen to me very closely. Don't wait till you're out of breath before you praise God. In my new book, The Recovery of Breath, back there, I talk about times when, as a pastor, I saw people take their last breath. Don't wait till you take your last breath. Be thankful today. Number three, the last one. Number three, it's all about God. It's on your screen. It's all about God. It's all about God. Our praise is all about God and nothing more. Nothing less and nothing else. Do you hear what I said? I mean, we can get in the atmosphere and we can get in the entertainment aspect when we're praising God and we can shout and we can try to move a crowd. But honestly, I want to be able to move God. I'm not interested in just moving people. I want to move God. See, God is my audience. Anything else, if God is not my audience, all I'm doing is entertaining. I'm only performing. And I think God is trying to restructure this and help us about this. And so it's not about you. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, I got some bad news. It's not about you. It's not about what you do. It's not even about why you do what you do. It's about who you do it for. Who are you doing this for? Now think about this. Let's connect this message and last message together. If all things were created by God and for God, then our praise that begins with every note of music, our praise that illustrates every color on the color wheel, our praise that describes every flavor that tingles our taste buds, and our praise that reveals every aroma that awakens our senses, all belongs to God. And there are no exceptions. That's what we were talking about last Sunday with Beethoven, with Bach, and with writing, you know, Jesus, help me, Jesus, and then writing to all the glory be to God. And we were talking about that and how the composer would write that. Listen, and if all creation, that means everything, every molecule, every element, every hydrogen atom, everything, all of it, created by God and for God, and it belongs to God, and all His glory belongs to Him. We cannot allow our praise to only come from our lips. We can't. Let me show you why. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 8. Jesus describes this people. He says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. But what happens? Their heart is far from me. You know what he's describing? What is this Jesus describing? This is what he's describing. He's describing people who are singing the right song, but living on the wrong side. Singing the right song, but living on the wrong side. So how do I apply this to my life? I'm going to show you something. Look at Exodus chapter 15 and verse 22. Now remember, they're just singing the song of Moses. Now look what happens next. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people, what happened? Murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Wow. They just sung the song of Moses. They're just so excited. God just performed a great miracle. They're thirsty. I get it. What do they call it? Hangry. Anybody ever been hangry? When you're angry and hungry at the same time? Right? They were thirsty. I get it. I understand that. But that thirst led them to something that was very dangerous. And look what happened. Immediately after the entire 3 million Hebrew children escaped on dry ground through the Red Sea, immediately after singing the song of Moses, read it for yourself, immediately after dancing with tambourines, with timbrels, with Miriam, they are now murmuring. Now, Sister Rochelle, I know it's never happened here at Gospel Lighthouse Church. But they tell me, Sister Jamie, the church down the road, they say that as soon as church service has ended, they go from praising God to complaining that the music is too loud. They told me the church down the road, they go from clapping their hands to complaining that the sermon was too long. They go from raising their hands to complaining that the church was too hot or the church was too cold. Singing the right song when living on the wrong side. Let me show you something. This is exactly what Jesus was conveying to those Pharisees. The best way to make application of this right now is to simply get your heart right. Get your heart right. That's what it boils down to. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Maybe you're allowing other people's offense get into your heart and making you mad. Maybe you're just mad. You're just cantankerous. And God wants you to change your heart. As Jesus is saying, these people, they praise me with their lips. They clap their hands, they give, they do all these things, but their heart is far from me. And that is a very dangerous place to be when your heart is far from God. Stand with me today. What if we all determined this morning, you know what? I want my heart near unto Him. I want my heart near unto God. I don't want to let anything come between me and God. Any hurt, any pain, any offense, struggles, fear, anxiety, worry. I want to offer up Him an authentic, true, genuine praise. Bow your heads and your hearts with me this morning. Father, we love You. We're so thankful for this word. We thank You for this teaching. We thank You for, Lord, what You're teaching us. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to come clean before You. Come clean before You. To go through this process, this developmental process in our life, to really understand about true praise. Authentic praise. Not just praising Him on the safe side. Praising Him through our battles. There was a time while your head is bowed and your eyes closed in the Old Testament, Jehoshaphat and his army, and that was basically what God said to him. You're in a battle. This is what I want you to do. I want you to just to praise Me. In a moment they begin to praise Him and offer up true praise while they're in the midst of a battle. God wrought an amazing victory. God may use that you for you. There may be enemies in your life right now, and God is just challenging you to praise Him. And those enemies, they will turn on each other and not come to you. Maybe you're struggling right now, and you need guidance, you need direction. And God is just, until that door opens, God is saying, just praise Me in the hallway. Just praise Me in the hallway. And then the right door will open. Maybe you're here this morning and you're looking, you're searching for the will of God in your life. You're searching for direction and you need guidance. Let me tell you something. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. And I want you to praise Him. Praise Him. There's something about a unique standard. Something about when you simply just give Him a true, authentic praise in your life. Not just with your lips, not just with your words, not just with your breath, but with your attitude, with your demeanor, with your walk, with your love life, with your giving, with hope and joy and peace. Beloved, I will say this to you, when you give Him that kind of praise, miraculous things take place in your life. Walls of Jericho will fall. God will cause an earthquake in your midnight hour to open up the prison doors. Miracles happen when you get to that level of authentic, genuine praise, singing the right song when living on the wrong side. I want to pray for something right now. I want you to take your neighbor by the hand. I want us to bind the spirit of depression. I realize chemical imbalance. I realize it exists. I realize people have physical situations in their life, and there's this seasonal disorders that take place this time of year. And when you lose a loved one and you try to celebrate, holidays, it's difficult. I understand that concept. Listen, I've been through it and I'm going through it. I'm with you. But I believe there's also a spiritual attack on the minds of believers this season, and it's the spirit of depression. And I want us to bind that spirit together. If any two or three gather together in His name and agree upon anything, it shall be done according to His word. Agree together right now under your breath. Don't wait for me to pray. But I want you to pray right now. I want you to cancel out that spirit of depression. I want you to have more wisdom, recognizing the spirit of depression. If you're battling it and you're living in a dark house, go open your windows. Open your shades. put light on, whatever you got to do, but let's battle it together in Jesus' name. Father, we command depression right now off the minds of Gospel Lighthouse Church, off the minds of believers. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. Through the authority of your word, by your stripes, we are healed. And we command depression to get off our children, to get off marriages, to get off finances, to get off ministries. In the name of Jesus, in relationships, Father, in families, we ask you to bring your liberating power, your freedom, for where the Son of, where the Word of God is, where the Son of Jesus, where the Son of God is, where Jesus is, we are free. And you said where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so bring freedom from depression in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. And we command it to leave. And we ask you, Father, that you would give us your blessing, your strength, your grace, and your mercy in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to somebody right now, and I hear the Lord say that you need to rest your body. You've been going way too much. You're going way too much. You're going and going and going, and God is going to tell you, if you don't stop, God is going to stop you. He'll make you lay down. So here's what God's saying. Time to rest. You've got to rest your mind. You've got to rest your body. You've got to rest and lay before the Lord and let Him bring you what only He could give. You say, well, I sleep. You know, it's beyond sleep. It's spiritual rest. It's spiritual rest. It's spiritual sleep. Because you can even be attacked in your dreams while you're asleep. It's a rest that only God can give. And I want to challenge you, whoever you are today, I want you to find that rest in God. Know that. Peace be still. Know that God can put His arms around you and embrace you and bring you the rest and the energy that you need. Amen. Do you love God? Let's give the Lord a good hand clap. Hallelujah.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.